Moncrief on News Talk.
They've had the necessary shots so they can survive all the filth that's in the studio. Barbara and Declan join us once again.
And it's the filth actual, we're going literal to be talking filth. About.
Yeah, when literal
Barbara,
filth.
Literal filth. Yes. You know, when Barbara sat down, there was, you know, filth. Things left behind there. Oh. Right, here's your... This is a controversial one. I really do think it is.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
A bit of a war is raging in our house. Before I tell the story, I'd just like to clarify, we are not like this normally. And my fiance has been the best partner over the last decade. I'd normally do anything I can to make her happy. Uh-oh. But this one is at an impasse and I just can't concede. We're getting married in August and we're at the final stage of planning our wedding. We've gotten to the stage where we're trying to decide what our first dance will be. And my wife isn't happy with my choice. I want a Katy Perry song called Wide Awake. When we drove across America a few years ago, we played it all the time. We always sing it to each other. We have loads of life stories and events associated with that song. I want this to be our first dance because it actually has meaning. However, the song is about cheating and the couple that breaks up. My wife, to-be, doesn't think it's appropriate. She thinks we should pick an Adele or Ed Sheeran song instead, which are proper love songs. We have no connections to those songs and we would be just picking them for the sake of it. She's determined she's not and we would be... dancing to a song about cheating, but I really want our first dance to be a song which we both love, which means a lot to us and is a beautiful song. Everyone is telling me to change my mind, but for the rest of the planning process, I've been happy to go with whatever keeps my fiancé happy, but for this one, I want my say.
My way. He wants his way as well. That's what he wants. Okay, so the first thing I want to say is there are two artists that I definitely cannot listen to. One is Adele and the other one is Ed Sheeran. They both give me like a serious dose of yuck.
So
Ed
don't Sheeran. Bother inviting Barbara to the wedding.
Yeah. So I'm with them on that. Like, yeah, I would absolutely veto both of those. But that said, I get like why his wife doesn't really want to dance their first dance to a song about cheating. Because although it means something to the two of them, and as he said, they played it when they were in America or whatever, and they've loads of memories, I suppose, tied up in the song rather than the words. But I understand that maybe the wife is thinking, but for everybody else at the wedding who doesn't know all of that, they're going to go, this is a weird song that they're choosing to have their first dance to, you know, when a wedding is all about commitment and happiness.
Well, there you go. Already, if they're making speeches at the wedding, that's something they can include in their speech. That'll probably get a laugh.
You don't have any advice, Sean. Yeah. Thanks for that now. I'm going home.
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay, I didn't think of that. Yeah, but not
that's,
even,
it, that's a job done.
Yeah. The other thing I was going to say before you came up with that obvious solution, the other thing I was going to say.
Like, if you gave up the solution, we wouldn't need to be here.
No, sorry. I just had a flash of inspiration. Normally, it doesn't happen.
How quickly you came up with that one.
Could you not hold back for a little bit? At least we kind of.
We need to fight.
No, the other thing I was going to say is that, like, you know, a few months after your wedding, it won't actually matter what you danced to. And, you know, a few years after your wedding, you won't remember what the song was that you danced to. So, you know, like we always say, pick your battles, pick your hills on which you're going to die. I'm not sure that this is one. If I was his wife, I'd be saying no, even though I like that song. If it's got all this negative stuff going on with it, I wouldn't want to dance with it either. So I would suggest that they, as we always say, sit down and they make a compromise. They make a short list of maybe five favourite songs each and then they come up with one that they can both live with. Because I have a feeling on this one, even if he says it, stop grinning.
You're keeping going and Sean's solution is just right there in front of your face.
No, but see, no,
fill
that might
time,
be the solution.
Fill the air time.
That might be the solution. She might, because she might go no.
Exactly.
Absolutely no.
She might say, I don't care if you flag it at your speech.
Yeah.
I'm not happy if dancing to that song. So I think if she's not happy, she's not happy. And I think him saying, I want my way on this, that's not a great way to start out a marriage either. Do you know what I mean? You have to learn. One of the things you have to learn very early on is compromise. And I think that, you know, I think that the wife to be, the bride to be, has got a point, and I think he needs to see that and, you know, choose a different hill to die on. I don't think this is
I do think it is a bit of a random hill to be dying on, and it is also the fact that it's kind of the very first thing that you're kind of doing as a couple.
Yeah.
You're fighting over it, is a bit like, well, come on, you know, think about the optics. I also do think though that it's far more interesting to me to be at a wedding where a couple described that we went to America and we were screaming this into each other's faces as we drove across the Grand Canyon, and that's when I knew I loved her. And then all this kind of stuff, and then you dance to the song, and people will be not then thinking that the song is about cheating or whatever. They'll be going, oh. Because the reality of it is that...
Yeah, but you, like, I get that. And
oh,
that's
by the way, because
what
I'm, where I'm going really ultimately okay. with this is that fundamentally when you're getting married, you're getting married in front of an audience because you're showing a room of people who you have collected together that you two are, you know, an item, a unit, a couple forever and ever, happily ever after kind of scenario. And it's a kind of a performance of your relationship. It's a performance of... It's not... It's. I don't think... that some people get this right. They think that a wedding is just like the best party that they've ever organised in their lives for them. And they're going to be kind of, that's not right. But it's also not necessary that you kind of do a like a cookie cutter wedding that could be anybody else's wedding.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, and somewhere in between is an authentic thing.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think when, you know, the wedding is about the two of them. And if she's not happy... The, you know, him saying, no, I really want this. I want my way on this. You chose the, you know, all the flowers and the readings and the whatever else. I want my way on this. I just don't think that's a great way to start off. If she clearly is not in favour of this song.
I think that is, that's a kind of red herring though, because I think saying, bringing that up is a bit juvenile and silly.
Excuse me?
No, he did. He brought that up in his letter that he was like, that, oh, I've let her have her way for everything.
Yeah.
No, you didn't. You just didn't have an opinion on anybody. I think that's a completely different thing.
Yeah, because someone says, let her choose. It's her big day. For the dude, it's just an expensive session.
Oh, right. Well, I would say she's probably done all
that. That guy sounds like a real catch.
Yeah,
he is a
catch, yeah. I mean, I would imagine in the case of most couples, like heterosexual couples, it is the woman who does practically all of the arranging and all of the organising and all of the everything like that. But I do think, like, if Sherwood had come to me and picked some kind of the Proclaimers.
Well, you'll go!
I sat through a whole Proclaimers concert once and there was nearly a divorce after it, and I thought, I'm not doing that again.
Oh, hang on though, he might have, because he likes them.
Oh, he loves them, yeah. And
wow,
he said, oh,
and
I really
wouldn't even let him have it.
I went in and
you're
I sat through a whole
ride.
I wasn't. But I told him what we were dancing to and he was grand and happy. He learned early on that he'd said, okay, that's fine. Yeah, let's
Barbara's
do that.
Barbara's Way is the final compromise.
Barbara's Way is the highway, absolutely. Yeah. But I think he can't force his way if his wife doesn't agree.
I do think, though, in this kind of scenario...
He can put your solution to her. But I have a feeling she's going to go, nah, I don't want that song.
Yeah. A couple of people saying that couple shouldn't get married if they're going to have a dispute over something so inconsequential. But I don't think he thinks it's inconsequential. That's the thing.
Yeah, but the point is it actually is.
Yeah.
But no, because that just depends on the way you look at stuff. Because so many aspects of the ritual of getting married, if you really analyse it, the couple don't really care about. They're just going through this kind of the idea of they're saying, they're doing, they're being.
I don't know if they do. I think most couples do put some thought into it and do like to personalise it a bit and make it relevant to their story. I don't think everybody just does the tick and boxy exercise. Unless you did that, did you? I don't know.
No, but I wasn't at your wedding, but I would imagine.
Were you born?
I was born. Yeah.
You couldn't get off school. That's what it was.
Yeah. I'm surprised he missed that one. Yeah.
I wasn't coming in savage, Barbara. Yeah. I was just kind of.
Yeah. That wife of the couple that don't want the song to be played for the first dance because it's about cheating is right. Bet she will be up dancing later to Mr. Brightside from The Killers. That's about a woman cheating, says Michael and Wicklow. But that's not their special dance, though, is it? Here's a solution. They could get the band, if they have a band, to sing it live and change some of the lyrics.
Oh, God, that would be a whole lot of complication.
Yeah, his reasons for wanting the song are genuine. They have very good memories. We picked Fleetwood Mac as our first dance. And I know nothing that song. To this day, I regret it.
It depends on which Fleetwood Mac song, but a lot of Fleetwood Mac songs are about cheating and breaking up.
Nothing.
You can go your own way.
And I nothing that song. I don't know what that sentence means. This person obviously got so upset that their use of language deteriorated while they were doing it. Catherine says, we had Duran Duran Save a Prayer as our first dance at her wedding in 2015. It's a song about a one-night stand.
Is it?
But also my all-time favourite song. My husband didn't mind as it made me happy.
Oh, bless. You see, that husband has learned early on the value of making your wife happy.
Married 10 years. Our wedding song was by Take That. I hate Take That. The guy has to learn happy wife, happy life. Get used to it, says Michael. Our first dance was Brimful of Asha by Corner Shop. No speeches are before the first dance, and the first dance is a surprise. So it's the whole idea that first dance, everybody goes, oh, they've chosen Ed Sheeran. What a shock.
Oh, God. I think they're overthinking the fact that anybody cares, to be honest with you. Yeah. And that goes back to the point then, if the person that it has value for is the couple dancing, not the people, not your Auntie Sarah and your cousin Monica, who'll be sitting there going, oh, that sounds about
cheating. But again, it goes back to, if she's not happy, she's not happy. It doesn't really matter about anybody else. It's about the bride. If she's not happy, she's not happy. And he needs to learn that he has to compromise in that situation.
That's not a compromise, that's giving in.
No, but he doesn't have to give in to Ed Sheeran or to Adele.
Yeah.
But he has to, they have to choose something they can both live with.
Because really what it's probably about is the fact that his memories around that song aren't her memories around that song. Yeah. And maybe his kind of Katy Perry kind of...
Maybe he cheated his way around America.
While they were in a car.
Well, I presume they get out of the car.
Skillfully done, my friends.
I presume they get out of the car at some stage.
Just have to nip to the loo.
Yeah, exactly.
Where were you for the last 3 hours? Never mind. No one else in the room will be listening to the lyrics, says one texter. Owen says, so much to unpack in that wedding song piece. Firstly, he reminds me of my old self, caught up with nonsense that will ultimately be meaningless. My wife and I are lucky in that, in general, the things she's passionate about, I am happy for her to take the lead on, and vice versa. Love you, Ruth, says Owen. Who I assume is his wife. Let's hope so. Or this kind of an uncomfortable conversation.
What about Katy Perry? Why won't anybody love Katy Perry?
The lyrics literally say, I wish I knew then what I know now. You can't dance to that on your wedding day.
Oh, you see, there you go. That's my point, Jen. Yeah. No wonder she's not happy. I trust this woman. If she's not happy, she's not happy.
His reasons for wanting the song are genuine. They have very good memories. We picked Fleetwood Mac as our first dance.
Another Fleetwood Mac.
I read that one out already. If there was a problem they can't sort, it suggests that I'm crikey. It's just another bloody wedding. Who cares, says Brian.
Brian, talking after my own heart.
It'll be over in a few hours. Sure, he'll get his choice at the next wedding in a few years. on the couple's first dance song, what the guy needs to remember is that this is his future wife's wedding day, not his. It's all about her.
What?
He's only there as an accessory and lucky to be invited. Start right, go with the woman's choice. When it comes to weddings, she's not wrong. There's only one thing he wants. God, that's sad.
I don't agree with all that, like it's her day and it's all about just her. It is actually meant to be about
you
the two of them
as
a couple.
You said that 5 minutes ago.
No, Paul Sherwood was quite happy to let me take the lead and do everything. He still is happy to let me do everything.
But I do think, though, that if there's going to... I don't like the narrative that, you know, if one person, namely the bride, isn't happy, then the groom will never be happy. That seems like a really stupid way to construct a relationship.
No, but if she really has a problem with this song that he's chosen,
de facto right.
No, she's not de facto right. That's what I said. Then they have to reach a compromise. I don't think that he needs to agree to go with either Adele or Ed Sheeran. But I think they need to sit down, pick 5 songs each, and then pick one that they can both.
It's like this argument kind of starts in the basic thing, and she's decided she's right, he's decided she's wrong, and they haven't actually kind of almost had a trial where they kind of lay out their exact reasons. It's this part of the song. I mean, like, you know, when you introduce evidence and say, this is the bit, you know, because at the end of the day, is it just because you don't want people, you know, your Auntie Bridie and whoever else to kind of think, oh, they're singing.
Yeah, but if the words are weird in the context, then I get it.
But who are you caring for?
She cares.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But maybe
what he needs to take cognizance of.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying too. But he maybe doesn't realise that.
The two of you are fighting about it so much. For them? my fiance and I disputed our wedding song. I had agreed to every single thing to do with the wedding. I was knocked back on many things I wanted. We came up with a compromise song, which we and everyone else enjoyed. 5 years of happy marriage, and this is only in my head now because I'm hearing the story. Just make sure it's a compromise for both.
Yes.
And not something one wants and the other begrudgingly accepts. Says nameless brilliant husband and hands-on father.
Good man himself. Like, there he
married 30 years and neither of us can remember our song for our first dance. Yeah,
that's probably common as well.
Yeah. So, but you see, at the end of the day, we're saying this is all meaningless. What are you getting so excited for?
No, I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
I'm saying that, you know, this is not the hill for him to die on. And I think they need to, just like that fella said, I said that, they need to come up with a compromise song that they both are happy with.
I've recently started dating someone new and everything is going pretty well, even the sex. However, my previous partner was quite well endowed. Let's just say my new boyfriend isn't. I've tried, it's a weird spelling of well endowed there.
Like Chris O'Dowd. Yeah.
Maybe that's what she's hinting at. I've tried to convince myself that this isn't an issue, but the longer I am with him, the more I realise that it is. I don't orgasm like I used to. And sex isn't just as much fun with him. The foreplay is amazing and he does have rhythm, but the material he has for the rhythm just isn't beating my drum. Can we finish the tortured musical metaphor there? Yeah. I've Googled solutions to this and many websites are telling me to bring some sex toys into the bedroom, but I don't know how to bring it up. I don't want to offend him by suggesting that I need a dildo to compensate his penis size, but I need to do something. He's an amazing guy and I want to make this work. So please tell me how I can bring this up. Size does matter and I need to fix this ASAP as I'm getting frustrated. Or will this issue always be there? Well, he's not going to get any bigger.
And she's written she doesn't organism like she used to.
She doesn't organism like she... Okay, maybe there's dyslexia. Or she was... Maybe she can't spell if she thinks on this issue.
She's obviously getting exercised by the whole issue.
Yeah.
Oh, God, these things kind of annoy me. So
I can't wait to hear what you have to say.
Earlier on, Barbara implied that this is going to be like a me problem to solve. Yeah. But it depends on whether you believe being satisfied in sex is your or your partner's problem to solve. I think in the end of the day, if you're not personally enjoying the fruits of your sexual
labors.
Yes.
In other words, it like in a three-act play, if it doesn't have a third act, if it doesn't have a happy ending, then you're not being fulfilled in that way. And that's a problem. That's a problem. In a healthy kind of sex life, you should be, you know, satisfied. This person has expressed the reasons that this relationship is working. Because the first line is interesting because, you know, the letter says... Even the sex is going pretty well, but I mean, but now it's against an idealized version of what it could be like. Mm. And I think often when it comes to people's sex lives, particularly in a kind of a modern world where we have all of these kind of Teen Vogue and Cosmopolitan articles about, you know, achieving the perfect orgasm, plus you have, or organism. And then you also have like pornography and other kind of, things feeding an idea around that kind of that version of sexual fulfillment versus the kind of plain old Irish version of sexual relations, which is you just put up with what you've got and say nothing and just kind of get on with it. Somewhere in between, I think the two spaces is where the kind of happy medium is, because again, it feeds back to that thing you were saying about compromise, because when you're in a successful relationship, often your kind of the shortcomings of this partner might be replaced by the actual the care and the intimacy you have with somebody that you actually genuinely love and all that kind of shenanigans. But in the short term, because she's not at that place with this person yet. In the short term,
the long and the short of it is
that if this person feels that this person may never actually satisfy them in that way, I think in the early stages of a relationship is when that needs to be kind of addressed. Because leaving it to like much later is kind of, it's not, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to dump them because they've got a small penis, you know, when you're 12 years into a relationship. I think that seems a bit strange. Whereas introducing kind of your version of self fulfillment early on is what I think is the best thing to do. I don't know.
So you're saying she should walk? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that she's either got it sorted out by bringing up the sex toys now or finding another way to address the issue, that maybe there's another way in which the satisfaction can be achieved that doesn't involve the I don't know. I just feel like sometimes people can be in their heads about these things and you can kind of like, so trying it out.
Yeah, it's no harm.
No harm.
But I suppose it's not even an idea. Like, she has
experience.
Direct comparison.
Yeah, but I mean,
she was having all these great organisms, and that's kind and of now, that's, you know,
that's
now it's
kind of a big, that's a big problem. Because
that's,
you know,
a
if
big
you
problem.
Have, if you've seen a sexual comparison, I didn't even notice that flying by my face. If you have experienced sexual
you've
compatibility,
seen the promised land.
Yeah. Basically, yes.
And you're not in it right now. Yeah. That is a problem. That's a forever going to be in your head. Oh, remember that one time when I had an orgasm? You know, that's the problem. I think this relationship is kind of
she's
screwed.
Been to Paris. Now she's living in Newtown, Mount Kennedy.
And kind of going,
I don't know.
He is a bit thin.
I mean, when I read this, I was like, oh no, this is well outside my comfort zone. So I kind of did a bit of Googling about whether size does matter or not. And what I came up with was either too horrific or too scientific and intellectual. And I got dizzy and I couldn't understand most of it. But the bottom line, I think, was that
were you reading or looking at pictures?
No, I was reading. I was reading. But the bottom line, that apparently size does matter for, depending on the, I'm not going to go into detail, but I learned a lot depending on the type of organism that you want to have. Anyway, but as you said, Declan, like in the first line, she says that even the sex is going pretty well. But further down, that she says she doesn't orgasm like she used to, but sex isn't as fun with him. And that kind of, I was like, I would look at that nearly first, because like sex, if it's anything in a general way, not maybe every time, but like a lot of the time, should be fun. Because it is ridiculous and comedic and, you know, all kinds of comedy can happen. And it is, if you're not having a laugh about it and if it isn't fun, I think you have a bigger problem. And then I was thinking, why wouldn't it be fun? And is it because, is he feeling, has she in some way kind of communicated without saying it? Is he feeling a bit inadequate? Are they both not totally relaxed? Because she's concerned, because she seems to be very focused on the size of his yolk. And he maybe is feeling uncomfortable because he knows that, and maybe that's making them both not as relaxed as they should be. So my advice, for what it was worth, would be to try and relax a bit and enjoy it. You know, I know she said she doesn't do orgasm like the way she used to, but just relax and try and enjoy it as much as you can. And then maybe introduce, once you get him relaxed and kind of happy, and you might find that things will get better. And if it doesn't, then introduce, you know, sex toys or whatever you need to do in order to improve things. But I think when you're in a relationship and when you feel that the relationship might go the distance, because she said everything is great and he's lovely and, you know, everything's fantastic, except for this. I think any of us, when you hit that place where you're in a relationship and thinking, I wonder, will this kind of, maybe this is the one that'll work. You know, as you get to know somebody, we all have foibles and shortcomings. And
we know we do.
Yeah. And I think you always get to a stage in a relationship where you go, is this going to be a deal breaker or can I live with this? You know, is this a compromise? It's like buying a house. Doesn't take
That's
all the boxes, but it just, it just takes most of the boxes. Yeah.
It's because someone says it's not that size matters, but once you've had one size, it doesn't feel the same when you downsize.
Yeah.
So, which means that size does matter. She's moving from four bedroomed house to a two bedroom bungalow, and so you know.
Yeah. But I think, you know, if everything else is right, that she may be able to overcome. It might initially feel different.
She could build an extension.
Exactly. There's loads of ways. Put up lots of mirrors and make it
lots
seem
bigger.
Lots of
mirrors seem bigger, yeah.
No, I'm not playing this game.
In Naked Attraction, the small penis man never gets picked, says Paul, who's tiny and obviously watches Naked Attraction.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, that's kind of the point of that game, I would have thought, really, because, you know, you're not getting to know the person, really. You're just looking at the thing. But obviously, under no circumstances, mention the size to your man, to the current one.
No, not at the moment. I think
Ever. Come up with another reason. Say he's stinky.
You can also, though, without mentioning that particular aspect of it, find a way to introduce kind of sex toys into your shenanigan that, you know, make it a you problem. Go, oh, I don't, because I need this. That's fine.
And again, that you need to be really relaxed and comfortable in order to, for those conversations to flow easier. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it seems that they're both a bit like uptight about sex, and they're not really as relaxed as they should be. And if they're not finding it fun.
And that can happen with men as well. Sometimes the focus can be on the idea that it is a kind of, it's a race. that you have to, or you know, yeah. it's kind of a, it's a treasure hunt that you have to get yeah. to the end bit without, you know, and not the kind of the journey or the climb,
so yes. to speak. It's the journey. It's not the destination.
The destination.
Have you ever had someone in your life that you realise you're very native and you just want to cut them out?
Naive, I think it's what
it must be what it is, yes. Well, I'm having this with my parents at the moment. They find fault with everything, are negative in every conversation I have with them, and would frankly make you depressed when talking to them. As I've gotten older, maintaining this relationship has become extremely exhausting and stressful. I just want out. I want to remove them from my life. And when I say remove, I mean it permanently. I don't want to spend Christmas with them arguing. I don't want their input when I buy a house. And I don't need or want their opinion on how I raise my children. I've spoken to my spouse and friends about this, and they all tell me I can't or shouldn't cut them out of my life. But if this was any other relationship, I'd have ghosted them a long time ago. What do you think? Can I really cut my parents out of my life?
Janie Mac. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, yeah, of course you can. But I think that's a very radical kind of way of dealing with something that's probably not that uncommon, you know, that your parents are very annoying and getting involved in perhaps things you don't want them to get involved in. And I mean, I'm all for keeping your circle of friends and family, you know, to positive people and people who make you feel better about life and rather and keeping your distance from people who bring you down and wreck your head. But cutting any member of your family off completely, as I say, is very radical. But in this case, I think these you need to bear in mind that these are not just your parents. These are your children's grandparents. And true. I'm not yeah. sure that you have the right to decide that they are not going to have any connection. If you cut them out, you're cutting them out of your children's lives as well, obviously.
Yeah.
And unless your parents are posing some kind of physical threat danger. To your children, yeah. you have no right to do that. So I would absolutely say there must be a workaround solution. I mean, keep your distance, keep them at arm's length. You don't have to go and spend Christmas with them if you don't want to.
Oh, God,
you can push
yeah.
back against them getting involved in your house or your kids or whatever. But cutting them out altogether, I would absolutely advise against. I think that's, and I think your children may end up resenting it as they get older.
Yeah, yeah. I think I agree with you. I also think that there's something about this that was ringing alarm bells with me was how easily this person's boundaries are being kind of crossed over and how unable they seem to be to kind of
deal with
to deal with their parents in that way. And I know many of us have, it's a fraught kind of, because it's an ever-changing relationship. You know, I'm at a stage with my parents is completely different than it was 10 years ago or when I was a child. And from that point of view, I understand that the dynamic can be draining because it taps into, you know, your own childhood and there's so many things going on emotionally and psychologically. But I think to not be able to find a way to even on case by case specific by specific scenario basis to be able to go no yes no yeah. no this is not for me, I don't think this is a good time for this, mom, or whatever you can do, and those for it to all become so overwhelming for this letter writer is what I'm worried about. I'm kind of like, are you okay? On as well.
Oh, yeah.
What
yeah.
I'm feeling,
yeah, 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 yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So just like, I hope they are okay. And I think that that's because my first instinct would be if it's all becoming so overwhelming for you,
you need help.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. you know, you need to talk to somebody about that because that's a lot. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
good advice, actually.
Well, yeah,
yeah
it is. But it sounds to me like they, at the very least, need kind of a strategic withdrawal from They'd melt your head.
Yeah, for
absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
and it is okay to kind of keep them contained in a box. But as you said, you know, the relationship that we have with other people is not the same that, you know, your kids or somebody else will have with that person. It's not fair to just judge them and cast them out into the desert because you don't get
along. And I think some people forget as well, when you're at a certain stage in life with young kids, you can't visualise the fact that your kids will become teenagers and will become adults, and they might get very angry about the fact that they have never been allowed to develop a relationship with their grandparents, and then their grandparents won't be around for, you know, forever. So, I would.
And it is a phase.
You're look at the bigger picture.
It's a phase.
Yeah,
I hate that expression, but relationships with people do go through phases because they're contingent on where you are and where they are. And those scenarios are ever changing.
Yeah, the person with the negative parents should consider therapy. A relation of mine developed anxiety, which led to them being negative. I went to therapy and learned why and how to deal with it, etc.
Yeah.
I suppose like they'd probably dote on the grandchildren, but be going, "Oh, you're doing that wrong.
Yeah,
you're doing
exactly,
that wrong to their own."
You know, would you not cut her hair?
Yeah. I disagree with Barbara that this person has no right to cut their parents out of their grandchildren's lives. Obviously, it would be best to keep contact between them, but not at the detriment to the person who wrote in.
Yeah, but again, I think I pick up Declan's point. I think then counselling is necessary. I think it's a very radical thing to do is to cut the parents out completely and therefore remove their grandchildren from them and their
Because I don't see that as a self-care thing anyway. I see that as a punitive measure. I see that's like a reaction rather than a solution.
Yeah, and somebody else is just texting in the phrase penis pump, which I assume could answer any of the questions we've dealt with today. Barbara and Declan, thank you both very much.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.